Welcome to the Public Health Joy Podcast, the safe space for real and honest conversation about what building a public health research career is really like, the challenges, the triumphs, and all the lessons we learn along the way. I'm your host, Dr. Joy, a public health researcher, PhD survivor, and entrepreneur. In today's episode, I'm sharing why revolutionary public health is necessary for change. This is where research meets relationship, and together we will find our public health joy. I love chatting with you, and I'm so glad that you're here. Because today, I just wanted to have a conversation, just you and me. Because I've been thinking a lot over these last couple of weeks about the history of public health research and how it has affected the communities that I serve. And I think that we've really come to a point where we really need to question the future of public health research. But if we want to understand where we are going, we've really got to take some time and reflect on where we have been. And even in my own journey as a Black woman who was born and raised and continues to live in Mississippi, and I've built my career as a public health researcher, I constantly ask myself, have I done enough? Have I served my community well? What could I have done better? What could I have done differently? What were my intentions, my motivations, my actions? And these questions even go back to when I was just 15 years old. And I want to tell you the story about the first time I was introduced to public health research. I was a junior in high school, and I was presented an opportunity by my mentor at the time who said, hey, you know what? I think that you would be perfect for this competition. And this competition was the Young Epidemiology Scholars Competition, which was funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation at the time. Now, this was a competition that was for high school students to explore public health and epidemiology by designing and conducting an independent research study. And those who participated had the chance to win up to a $50,000 scholarship. Now, I'm a teenager, so I didn't even really know what epidemiology or public health even was, but I knew that I liked the challenge, and I also knew that I liked school, so it sounded kind of interesting. But more than that, I liked the idea of a $50,000 scholarship, right? So I decided, okay, I'll go ahead and I'll do it. So when my mentor and I sat down to talk about research ideas, I already had a little something in mind. Being a junior in high school, we were taking health class. And I figured, you know what, just from the conversations with my classmates, that many of us really weren't following what Mr. Wahlberg taught us in sixth period about drinking, drugs, tobacco use, nutrition, and physical activity. We just weren't paying attention to that stuff. It was just another class that we needed to get done on our transcript to move on to senior year. That is what we cared about. But then I started thinking, well, what's the point of health class if none of us are using the information? So I decided, well, I can create a research project to survey my junior class on whether they were actually applying what they learned in health class. You know, were their behaviors changing or even influenced? Did health class really make a difference? And I didn't know it then. But that was the moment my research seed was planted. My project for the Young Epidemiology Scholars Competition on health behaviors of high school students led me to be a semifinalist, and I won a $1,000 scholarship. And I was hype because I did my project, I won my money, and I moved on with my life. But what happened to my classmates? I mean, what good did my research project do if it didn't lead to any action? It benefited me as the researcher, but it didn't benefit those who participated in my research. And that was my first lesson, that research doesn't always lead to action. And if I knew then what I know now, I would have done things differently. Fast forward to about 7 years later, I'm attending grad school in a biomedical sciences program. I'm doing research, I'm working in the lab, and I'm taking a physiology class. And at this point in the class, we're learning about diabetes and insulin, and I am someone who has a family history of diabetes. So I'm intrigued to learn more. I'm taking notes, I'm soaking everything up, and then I go home to my family and I say, you know, we learned all about diabetes in class today. This is how insulin works. This is how your pancreas works. This is how you develop diabetes. Did you know that? And they look me straight in the face and they say, I have never heard that. And I don't have a clue what you are talking about. And so I said, wait a minute, your doctor never explained this to you? And they said, no, not at all. And at that moment, I thought, what is the point of all this research we are doing if people who have diabetes for 15 or 20 years and don't even understand how their body works? I knew then that I could not continue my career in biomedical research because that same question came up. What good is my research if it does not lead to action? What's the point of all this research if the people who are directly affected don't even know what's happening? Fast forward to 2015. I had graduated with my Master of Public Health degree. I had gotten my first job as a community-based participatory research coordinator. And we were evaluating policies and practices affecting adolescent sexual health. I was working with the community. We were engaged in this research together. I thought I had finally figured it out. And during that project, we got the devastating news that our teen pregnancy prevention program in South Mississippi was going to be cut. And as bad as that might sound, this created even more drive for the community to figure out how do we move forward if this program is not going to exist anymore. We got the community on board. We completed our deliverables for the grant. The community was excited for next steps. And guess what? There was no plan for sustainability or action. And I felt like I failed my community because what good was our research if it did not lead to action? I have been trained in some of the best research institutions in the nation, but none of them have shown me what it looks like to do research outside of academia, outside of the university, and it does not sit right with me. I cannot continue to contribute to this traditional idea of academic research. And I'm not saying that academic research is all bad, but what I am saying is that the way we have been doing research has not done its best to serve communities. And just because this is the way research has been done in the past doesn't mean that it has to continue this way. At the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, we all saw just how broken our public health system is. And these weren't problems that just started. It stems from a history of prioritizing the researchers' wants and needs over the people who matter the most. And in July of 2020, I knew in my spirit, in the depths of my heart and soul, that I could not work in academia full time as a researcher and have to keep doubting whether my research efforts were making a positive impact in my community, if it was really leading to action. I've had enough. It's time out for doing the projects, getting the money, and moving on with life. So I decided that I wanted to change the narrative. I wanted to change my narrative and what it means to be a public health researcher by starting my own public health research consulting company that focuses on providing research support directly to community organizations who want to engage in research activities. And it didn't hit me until a couple of weeks ago that changing the narrative around public health research to prioritize communities and focus on action is a revolutionary idea. Recently, I attended a public health consulting and entrepreneurship workshop hosted by Dr. Charlotte Huntley in Orlando, Florida. And I had the opportunity to sit in a room with 11 other Black public health professionals, researchers, entrepreneurs, and we were able to have an amazing, open, and honest conversation about the harms of research and the detriment to the community. And we discussed community-engaged research and how we could protect our communities while also being the researcher. And I started thinking, you know, we talk about community-based research like it's always been around. But I started questioning, where did community-based research actually come from? What is the history of community-based research? How did we get here? And after I started digging, the truth is, just the idea of community-based research has really only been around since the 1990s. I started reading a book called Decolonizing Methodologies, Research and Indigenous Peoples by Linda Tahiwi Smith. And this book really serves as a deep dive into how colonialism and imperialism has shaped research methodology and its impact on Indigenous peoples. And one of the most quoted lines from the book is that research is one of the dirtiest words in the vocabulary of Indigenous peoples. That hit me like a ton of bricks. In every moment that my research did not lead to action or did not benefit my community, had I been contributing to making research an even more dirty word? How can I navigate my future so that my community reaps the benefits? The COVID-19 pandemic, mass shootings, gun violence, racism, climate change, infectious disease, chronic disease, the list could go on forever. And we know now more than ever that our public health system in the United States is broken. But the question remains, is it beyond repair? What would it take to transform our public health system in the United States to achieve health equity and ensure that every person receives the treatment, prevention, and care across all dimensions to have the highest quality of life? Now, we would think that as much research as we've done, we would have the answer to that by now. But maybe the problem isn't just the research itself, but how we define research and researchers. When we think about how research has been framed and defined by academic institutions, the question often becomes, who are considered researchers? For many people, researchers are automatically associated with having advanced degrees, being in college for Lord knows how many years, teaching at universities and getting tons of money and funding through grants. They are the ones who have traditionally benefited, made the decisions, hold the control, and continue to be in positions of power. But those things don't make you a researcher. What happens when we shift our thinking around research? Who is really considered a researcher? Anybody. Anybody can be a public health researcher. It just means that you ask the questions. Our community members are researchers because they get engaged in the research process. Just the process of asking the questions and attempting to seek the answers makes you a researcher. Our community members are the experts, and they have the knowledge based on their culture and their lived experience, which has the transformative power that needs and deserves to be respected and held in the highest regard. And if we want to see true change, we cannot do public health research the way we've always done it. It is going to take revolutionary public health that has transformative power. That means that we're going to have to approach public health research from a place of radical healing, servant leadership, love and respect for community, and relationship building. It's time that we return the position of power to who it should have belonged to all along, our communities. Research does not have to continue to be dirty. We do have the power to transform that meaning for communities who have been intentionally neglected. Public health research has the power to bring forth joy. I'm choosing to make the commitment to revolutionize public health, and I hope you are too. I know you want to see action and sustainable solutions in your community. You know there is undeniable power in your community, and I want us to work together to transform public health research into positive community impact. Through my company, Joy Washington Public Health Consulting, we can provide the research support your community needs to ask the questions, seek the answers, and take action to bring you into an equitable, healthy, and joyful future in a revolutionary way. For more information, you can email me at info@joywashington.com, and together, we will do more than public health. We will bring joy to public health. I am so grateful for this time we got to spend together. If you enjoyed this episode, I need you to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. For more information on building a public health research career, visit www.joywashington.com. This is where research meets relationship, and I'll see you next time on the Public Health Joy Podcast.